We are continuing our series in Deuteronomy. Last week we looked at the Ten Commandments, and today I want to focus on one of those Ten Commandments, as promised, the one about the Sabbath, about rest. And the reason I'm doing a whole message just about this one commandment and the other ones we're kind of doing in summary is because this commandment was very important to the people of Israel, and it's also complicated for us as Christians because unlike the other ones, which are very straightforward in their application for us, this one we kind of have to filter through the whole story of God's redemption and understand how then we need to apply it to our own lives. And so I wanted to kind of show you a path for doing that where we look at what this command meant for the people of Israel, and then we see how we understand it even more fully in light of Jesus and what he's done for us, and then take it on and see how we need to apply this to our own lives. So that's what we're looking at today. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll look at verses 12 to 15. And let me pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is true, and I pray that you would speak to us right now, give us open hearts, open ears to hear from you, help us to understand what you've said, to believe what you've said, to live in the light of it, to obey it. I ask for your people right now. I pray that your spirit would work. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Here are two typical conversations that people have, very typical, and these are going to be very familiar to you. Okay, the first person, you run into somebody that you haven't seen in a minute, and you're like, how are you? And what do they say? Busy. Isn't that the answer that we always give? That's what I say, sadly. You're busy. How are you? Exhausted. You know, that's what we say. I found myself saying that this week to somebody. It's like, you know, how are you doing? I'm behind, trying to catch up. That's where I'm at, all right? And now maybe some of you, you know, I know that some of you are retired, and maybe some of you, this is not the lifestyle you have chosen. But for many of us, this is really typical. How you doing? Busy, you know? Okay, here's another conversation that's really typical that we have. When you first meet somebody, one of the first things you ask, and my goodness, I did this to somebody this morning. It's like, well, what do you do? What do you do? And I heard a comedian that was kind of joking around about how that's a typical thing that we ask in our culture. And he says, when they ask me, what do you do? I say, do you mean for money? So we tend in our culture to define ourselves by our work, right? And then we're so busy with all the work and all the activity, you know, that's why when people ask us, how are you doing? We say, we're so busy. Okay. These conversations are very typical. We have a tendency to define ourselves by our work and to be too busy. Now, God knew that people were like that. This is not new. I mean, I think there are some cultures that handle this differently, but God knew that this was a tendency in the human heart to define ourselves by our work. And so part of the reason he gave Israel the Sabbath as a day of rest was to guard against the problems that come along with defining ourselves by our work. So we're going to talk today about its meaning, the meaning of the Sabbath. Then we're going to talk about how it's fulfilled. And then I want to talk about how it applies to us, whether we're obligated to keep this commandment to observe the Sabbath. So let me read again. We read this last week, but I'll read it again. This is Deuteronomy 5, starting in verse 12. Be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. do not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey. Remember that, guys. Don't let your donkey work on the Sabbath. Okay. Any of your livestock or your resident alien who lives within your gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is God's word. So let's talk about the meaning of the Sabbath. If you just look at this text that I just read, what is the command? I'm going to do some who, what, when, where, why, okay? What is the command? The command is to observe the Sabbath. The word Sabbath means cease, stop, okay? Stop, meaning, you know, stop working, okay? And in the word Sabbath is also related in Hebrew to the word seven. The Sabbath is the seventh day. And God tells the people, keep it holy. Keep the Sabbath holy. And what that means is to set it apart. It needs to be different from the other 6 days. You work 6 days, but the seventh day is holy. It's set apart for something different, for rest, for worship. Okay? When? It's the seventh day. Saturday is the Sabbath. How do you obey this command? Do not work. Okay? So you don't do the usual work that you do to earn money, or the usual work that you do to serve the household. And that doesn't mean that the people of Israel were to never put any effort out on Saturday, because there were extra sacrifices that they had to do, and there's certain things that they were still obligated to do. But there are some examples in the scripture about things they should not do. Don't light a fire in your house on the Sabbath. Or even before the law was given, when the people were wandering in the wilderness, God provided manna. Do you remember this? He provided manna in the wilderness for them to eat, and all they had to do is go out in the morning and gather it and bring it home, and they had enough to eat all day. Well, on Friday, they were supposed to gather twice as much, and then on Saturday, they didn't have to gather at all. And the manna that they gathered on Friday kept fresh and tasty all through Saturday. That's an example of how they're not supposed to work. They're just supposed to rest in the Lord on Saturday. Okay, who should keep this command? And this is very important. Everybody in Israel needed to keep this command. The parents, the children, men, women, employer, employee, slave, free, rich, poor, citizens, foreigners, everybody, even animals, even your ox, even your donkey, needed to rest on Saturday. Now, in some cultures, in the ancient world, there were times of rest, but the time of rest was for the rich people, and the poor people still had to keep working as servants and serve the rich so that they could be at leisure, you know. But that's not how it was in Israel. Everybody had to rest. I remember when I was a kid, it was pretty typical on Sundays for us to have a big Sunday lunch with the extended family, and it felt so leisurely to me, you know, like go to church. All I had to do was worry about, you know, just myself. I'm going to go to church. Maybe there are donuts there, and, you know, and I'll eat a donut before church and hang out, go to church, and then after church, go home. And I'm just sitting watching some football while the meal is being prepared, you know. And I realized later, all that rest that I enjoyed, somebody else was working. And it's typically the women. You know, in the house, that's how it was in my family, you know. Granny was working hard. My mom was working hard making a ham. I'm sorry to make you guys hungry right now. But, in Israel, you know, everybody needed to rest. You know, everybody needed to take a break. Okay, and then why? Why should they rest? Well, when the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus, the reason that God gave was because He had made the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. So he's pointing Israel to creation and how he is the creator. He stopped working, and we need to follow his pattern. He made the world. We are his stewards. We're the ones who are made in his image to care for the creation that he made. And so we're doing it for him. And if he stopped working a day, and enjoyed the creation he made, we also need to do that, to stop working and enjoy the day, enjoy the creation. You know, it's not just about working, it's about enjoyment and resting, delighting in the world that God has given us to be over. It's not our world, it's his world. And we need just to rest and enjoy it just like God does. And then in Deuteronomy, the reason that God gives the people, it's not, instead of talking about creation, he talks about redemption. That God is their redeemer. In Egypt, they had been slaves. They had to work all the time. And they had to work for unreasonable masters who would always be raising the quota on how many bricks you had to make, you know. And so they had to work so hard all the time. They never rested, and their work was for these terrible slave drivers, okay? And God says, I delivered you from Egypt. I've set you free. You're not a slave anymore to work. You know, you can rest. And everybody in your country needs to rest. You know, those slave drivers beat you mercilessly, but now you're free people. You don't need to continue the way of life that you had before. And also, you should not exploit the weak and vulnerable people in your nation. You need to let them rest too. And so stopping work for a day each week taught the people of Israel to trust God. You know, he redeemed them from Egypt. He had worked miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He gave them food in the desert. And so now they can trust him to meet their needs even while they're resting. They can trust him. They're not accomplishing anything, but God is able to provide them for them anyway, even when they're not earning money, you know, even when they're not working. God is going to provide for them. And so in the context of the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are about how we relate to God. We talked about this last week. And the last six are about how we relate to other people. And this fourth commandment about the Sabbath is the bridge between those two sections. So this is how we relate to God. We take time to rest, to worship, to trust in him, not to make an idol of work, not to make an idol of our success. Okay. And then the way that we relate to others is we give them an opportunity to do that too. We don't exploit other people. We respect their time of rest also, and we enjoy a day off with everyone else. Okay, so that was how it worked for ancient Israel. Now, there's some other teaching about the meaning of the Sabbath in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to mention a couple of quick things about it. In Exodus 31, it talks about how the Sabbath is so important that people who didn't observe the Sabbath faced the death penalty. Can you imagine? Oh, you're out working in the garden? You're going to be stoned. I mean, that's how serious it was. And the reason for that in ancient Israel is the Sabbath is a sign of the Mosaic covenant. When I say Mosaic, I mean the covenant that God gives the people through Moses. Okay? It's a sign of the covenant, the arrangement that God has made with the people. And if they break the Sabbath, it's like they're saying, God's not our king anymore, okay? I don't want to serve God anymore. And so it's that important. Now, in the book of Leviticus, there are some references to the Sabbath that relate to worship, that on the Sabbath there were sacred assemblies. The people would gather together and worship God on the Sabbath. And then during other festivals like the Passover, when there was a Sabbath, you know, when there was a Saturday during that festival, it was extra special with extra sacrifices and, you know, special rituals that they would celebrate. And then there's this other idea in Leviticus about the Sabbath year, that once every 7 years, the farmers would let the land rest. They wouldn't farm on the seventh year. Let the land stay fallow, you know. And then there was something called the Year of Jubilee, which is the seventh seven. So there's like after 49 years, there's a year where all debts are canceled and the slaves go free. And so the idea of the number seven in the Old Testament, it refers to completeness, wholeness, perfection. It's like, we finished, we can rest, you know. And so that idea is, you know, like pressed on to the people of Israel through the rhythm of life in their week and in their year. There are certain intervals of seven where they stop and rest and worship God. So the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. It's Saturday, and the people of Israel were to observe it by not working, instead by resting, worshiping, delighting. Okay, it was given to Israel as a sign of the Mosaic covenant. And I read a little bit last week about how Jews typically observe the Sabbath today. You know, they from Friday evening to Saturday evening, they don't work, observant Jews. They eat three special meals with their family. They say blessings over a glass of wine. You know, their special prayers. They're going to the synagogue. That's encouraged. They enjoy time with their family. And I was just reading about how they're sort of like forced into that. And it was like, that sounds wonderful. You know, just can you imagine like just stopping, you know, that it's coming and you've been cranking it out all week. And then Friday night you stop for a while and you chill out with your family and but you do it before the Lord, you know, you're resting in the Lord. Okay. So that's the meaning of the Sabbath. Now I want to talk about the fulfillment of the Sabbath. We've looked at the Old Testament and to see what the Sabbath meant to ancient Israel. And now I want to see what the New Testament teaches about the Sabbath and how it's fulfilled. Now, to set the scene here, in the centuries before Jesus came, the Jewish rabbis had added lots of rules in addition to what was in the Bible about how people should keep the Sabbath. You know, what you could do, what you couldn't do, how far you could walk, how you couldn't swing a hammer on the Sabbath, how you couldn't butcher meat. You know, like all, like the Mishnah has 39 things you cannot do, and you had to remember all that. And at the time of Jesus, because of this tradition, these extra traditions, the Sabbath was no longer a day of enjoyment, but it was a day of stress. You know, ironically, it was a day of working hard to making sure you're keeping all these traditions. It was no longer a day of trusting in God, but a day of effort and performance as you followed all these strict rules and forms for what you should do. And so then now that kind of explains some of what Jesus is dealing with when Jesus interacts with people on that topic, on the topic of the Sabbath. And I want to read you a passage from the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28. If you feel free to turn there, but I'll read the whole passage. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Then continuing in chapter 12, "At that time Jesus passed through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick and eat some heads of grain. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'See, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' He said to them, 'Haven't you read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he entered the house of God and they ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him or for those with him to eat, but only for the priests? Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Moving on from there, he entered their synagogue, and he saw a man who had a shriveled hand, and in order to accuse him, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He replied to them, "Who among you, if he had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't take hold of it and lift it out? A person is worth far more than a sheep, so it is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath." Then he told the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was restored, as good as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might kill him. Okay, so this passage is typical of how Jesus interacted with people regarding the Sabbath. Jesus himself kept the Sabbath in some sense. He went to synagogue to worship on the Sabbath. But he makes a point repeatedly to heal people on the Sabbath. And he says that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He rules over it. It doesn't rule over him. And also there's the idea in there that the Sabbath points to him. This sign, the symbol of the Sabbath, points us to a fuller rest that's in Jesus. Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." So the ultimate rest is found in Jesus, in him. And this ultimately is because we're saved because of his work and his sacrifice, not our own work. We find our ultimate joy and rest in Jesus. He is the object of our worship. You know, the Sabbath was a day of worship. He is the one we should worship. So Jesus fulfills the Sabbath. And let me read you now a passage from the Apostle Paul. This is in Colossians. This is Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. This is after Jesus had already died, rose again, went to heaven, and the earliest Christians are kind of arguing among themselves, should we keep the Sabbath or not? And this is what Paul tells them in Colossians 2, 16. "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink, or in the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come, and the substance is Christ." So the Sabbath is a shadow. What is it a shadow of? Jesus and the salvation that's in him. So Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath day, the Saturday, was not required for Christians, just like Christians are no longer required to eat kosher food or to sacrifice animals in the temple. And Christians shouldn't judge other Christians for whether they keep the Sabbath or not, or let others judge them. We're not obligated to keep the Sabbath. In the book of Hebrews, there's a very similar verse, and this is Hebrews 10, chapter 1. It says, "Since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the reality of those things, it can never perfect the worshipers." Okay? So the law, including the law about the Sabbath, is a shadow of those things, the things that are to come, the reality of the things to come. And we read this passage in Hebrews 4 earlier in the service, and I'll read you just two of those verses again. This is Hebrews 4, 9. "Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience." And so when people trust in Christ, they're resting from their works. God has accepted them based on Jesus' work, not our own. And so there's that sense that we're resting in him. And then there's another sense that there's a future rest coming when Jesus comes back and remakes the heavens and the earth. And then in the all creation is recreated, and we are at rest in God together. You know, like we've been struggling and striving and working hard, and then finally it's like the weekend, you know, except it's an ultimate weekend that goes on, you know, forever in God, you know. Thank God it's Friday, you know, but it's heaven. So that's what the fulfillment of the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is fulfilled in Jesus, and in his salvation. Okay, since the Sabbath is a shadow and the substance of it is the rest and joy we find in Jesus and his salvation, that leads us to this important question. Should Christians observe the Sabbath? Should we observe the Sabbath? And the short answer to that question is no. Okay, we are not obligated to cease from work on Saturdays. The Sabbath was a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. Christians are not under the Mosaic Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. Do you know what the sign of the New Covenant is? The Lord's Supper. You know, that's the sign of the New Covenant. So the Sabbath was a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. We have another sign, the Lord's Supper. So we're obligated, instead of looking to the sign, we're obligated to look to the substance, to the real thing, the reality that the sign points to Jesus and his salvation. We need to worship him, to worship Jesus, to delight in Jesus, to rest in Jesus, okay? So how do we rest in Jesus? I want to read to you in the book of Ephesians, the famous passage, I refer to it often, Ephesians 2, 6. Or I'm sorry, Ephesians 2, 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So we receive our salvation by faith in Christ, not by our own work, not by works. And when we remember that, it's such a relief. You know, it frees us from the burden of always striving and wondering if we've worked hard enough, if we've proven ourselves to God, or have I proven myself to myself? Have I proven myself to all the people who tell me that you've got to be a hard worker? You know, it relieves us from that burden. Okay. On the other hand, since we know that God has already accepted us because of Jesus' work, not because of our own works, we walk in the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. We serve others, but we serve him with a heart that is spiritually at rest. And we serve him with a heart that's looking forward to the future rest that we have in heaven. So as Christians, we're not obligated to observe the Sabbath. But even still, there are things that we need to learn from the principles that are in this Sabbath command. There are principles in the concept of the Sabbath that apply to us, even though we're not under the law of Moses, because we're people. We're people who are created by God, and as believers in Christ, we're people who are redeemed by God. So it's a little less direct, a lot less direct than with the other commandments, but I'm going to give you two principles that we can apply based in this idea of the Sabbath. The first one is that because we're humans, we need to stop work sometimes and rest. Okay? Humans need to rest. We weren't made to work all the time. If you're like out cutting down trees with a saw, if you don't stop sometimes and sharpen the saw, the blade will get dull and it will stop working eventually. And eventually you might even break the saw. If you don't stop and stop work and rest, you won't work efficiently. You'll lose your creativity. You'll eventually get sick. You might even start to have a mental or an emotional breakdown. Sometimes I feel like I've been on the border of that. Should I confess this to you as your pastor? Now we have freedom to decide when we rest or how long we rest, but that principle still holds. We need to stop and rest. And I don't want to put any burdens on you guys. I don't want to be a Pharisee to you. So what I'm going to talk to you about now, it's not a command, it's a suggestion. but I would encourage you to organize your week so that there's some period of time where you're not working, but you're resting. And it's great if you can do that with your family, with the people that you live with. And now how you do that is going to change in different seasons of your life, but we should be intentional about taking time to rest. Now, the Jews called Friday Preparation Day, because they had to prepare to rest on Saturday. Now, that principle holds for us too. It's going to be necessary to prepare and to work a little bit so that we can rest, you know, to plan, get the other things done so that there's a period of time when we can rest. It'll take some effort to do that. And during that block of time that you're resting, you should take some time to relax. You know, take a nap, read a book, take a walk, let your mind rest, let your body rest and be refreshed. Get away from your screens. You know, I think that's one of the dangers of there's so many wonderful things about the modern technology, but one of the dangers about the technology is you can always be working, even when you're not in the office. And so that's a suggestion. Turn everything off and let your mind rest for a period of time. We need to be intentional about that. Let yourself be at peace. Also take some time for recreation, for enjoyment, for doing things that you want to do that aren't work, that are different from your work. Now, if you're a farmer, you might not want to work in your garden when you're resting, you know. But if you're an office worker, that might be a great way. That might be a great recreation for you, is to get out there and pull some weeds. You know, do things that you enjoy. If you're a truck driver, a good relaxation might not be tinkering with your car. But if you're a pastor, I mean, I don't know anything what's under, I have no idea what's under the hood of the car, but let's pretend that I did enjoy tinkering with cars. That might be a good relaxation for me, you know. I'm not writing a sermon, I'm turning some wrenches, and it's something different, you know, that it's recreation. But you take some time for recreation. Eat meals at a table with other people. Play some games. Do something fun, okay? And then also, when you're resting in that block of time, consider the Lord. While you're resting, direct your thoughts and your prayers to Him. Remember that He made you. He saved you. He can provide for you, even when you're not working. So you rest in His presence. And that leads us to the second application, is to stop work and worship. I've been thinking about this. There's something genius about the NFL, because the games happen once a week on Sunday afternoons, typically. Your team plays once a week, right? So your team typically plays on Sunday afternoons, and that fits perfectly with the rhythm of a week, you know, that God made people to observe. And that fits perfectly with most people's work schedule. You know, Monday to Friday, they're working hard. Saturday, they're taking kids to sports and going to Home Depot and getting all their stuff done, their chores done and stuff. And then Sunday afternoon, they're on the couch, relaxing with the game. You know, there's something genius about that, right? So in a way, the NFL, every fall and winter, becomes the Sabbath for America. It sets a rhythm of work and rest, you know. And I'm not criticizing that. It fits with how God has designed us as humans. However, I do know people who go to church every now and then, but when they don't have something else going on, but they are very religious about their football. you know. They wouldn't dream of missing the game on Sunday afternoon, okay? So if there's another principle besides rest that we need to learn, and that's the principle of worship. It's not just that we need to stop our work and rest. We also need to stop our work and worship God. You were made to worship. You will worship something. If it's not God, you're going to worship something else. And as Christians, we worship the triune God. In the traditional time that Christians gather to worship is Sunday morning, because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday morning. Now, it's not wrong to gather a different time, but that's the traditional time. That's when we as a local church have decided to gather. Most people can get time off on Sunday. If you've worked at your job long enough, most people can. It might take some pushing with your supervisor, but most of the time you can get off. And if you can't, I would encourage you to find another time to gather with God's people to worship him. If you're too busy to worship God with his gathered people, you're too busy. You were made for this. You're made to sing the songs, to pray the prayers, to confess your faith with God's people, to confess your sins with God's people, to hear the scriptures, to respond to the word of God as it's preached, to give your brothers and sisters in Christ a hug, to receive the elements of the Lord's table, to affirm somebody's faith when they're being baptized. You're made for worship. And I want to encourage you to prioritize coming to worship every Sunday. Not because it's the Christian Sabbath. It isn't the Christian Sabbath. But it's based on the principle behind the Sabbath that we're made to worship. And for us as a local church, Sunday morning is when we gather to worship. So if you're in town, I know I'm talking to the ones that are here, but if you're in town and you're healthy, and healthy enough to be here, then be here. It's really easy to drift into coming to church less and less, you know. Like you might say, oh, I used to come 5 out of 6 Sundays, but then it started to be 4 out of 5 and then 2 out of 5 and so on. But think about what you're replacing worship with. Do you want to look back on your life and say, I didn't worship God with his people that much, but at least I did, and then fill in the blank with whatever you're doing instead. You know, of course you don't. You know, worship is more important. You're made for worship. And I'm not trying to scold those of you who sometimes have to work that late shift on Saturday night or that early shift on Sunday morning. I'm not trying to scold you, those moms who have babies at home or sick kids at home. There are seasons. There are seasons of life. But I'm talking about the rest of us, and I've been there, who let our lives get so hectic and so crowded that worshiping the Lord becomes an afterthought. If you're too busy to worship, you're too busy. So those are our two applications. As Christians, we are not obligated to observe the Sabbath, but we should learn these principles to stop work sometimes and rest, and to stop work sometimes and worship God with his people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, and I pray that you would encourage us with this word. I pray that we would see what you've told us here not as shackles that confine us, but that we would see it as freedom to live as you've designed us, as the people you've designed us to be. And so we just want to trust you with these things, and I offer you, we offer you our hearts now and our response to you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.